and among his people.
Yeah.
You see Matthew and Jeremy, and you see the questions that's being asked and the answers that's being given, not by the pastor. People are learning and growing and walking with the Lord, and that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. We're in the walking chapter of Ephesians. We're in the walking chapter of Ephesians, chapter 5. Started in chapter 4 after Paul gave 3 chapters of doctrine, biblical teaching. Now he's talking about the duty of the believer, the walk of the Christian. That word walk means the behavior, the lifestyle. Paul said in front of Roman jail in chapter 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy. The worthy walk based on what God has done.
Thank you, Jesus.
For you. We ought to be willing to walk worthy. We ought to be empowered. We talked about this morning, being empowered. You have to be empowered to walk worthy. You just can't walk worthy without the power of the Holy Spirit working in you.
Amen.
Paul said, walk worthy. And even being filled with the power of God, you still going to have trouble in the flesh. You still going to have your struggles. But Paul said, walk worthy. Tap into what God has done and what He is doing in your life. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Last week we covered verses 1 and 2. Today we're going to go all the way down to verse number 7. We are moving.
Amen.
We are moving, and we're going to speak from the subject of walking in purity.
All right.
Or walking like saints. I don't know which one I'm going to put on sermon audio. Walking in purity or walking like saints. Mm-hmm. Paul wrote this letter to saints.
Yeah.
Not ain'ts.
Yeah.
Chapter 5. Let's read 7 verses.
Yes.
7 wonderful verses. These are wonderful verses.
Amen.
Pay attention. I'm going to read slow. But pay attention, and Paul had me hanging on every word. And as you read the Word of God, it's called the Word of God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because we ought to study every word. Every word is powerful. Mm-hmm. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Mm-hmm. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. And have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your divine counsel. Thank you for your divine handbook of how we ought to live as believers based on you and what you've done for us by dying on Calvary's cross, laying in a tomb for 3 days and then rising with all power. Father, fill us this morning with your Holy Ghost. Father, we know it's not easy to live worthy of the calling of God. But we know with you all things are possible.
Yes.
So we pray this morning, Father God, right now, just for power. Power to live upright. Power to live obedient. Power to flee the very appearance of evil. Father, for power to walk in a sin-sickened, dark world that we live in. That we would shine as lights.
Yes.
So that those that are still in darkness will have a way out. We'll be able to see the way. Father, we pray today for all those that are here. We pray for these young people that have stepped out on faith.
Thank you, Jesus.
Continue to empower them, Father God. And let them know, Father God, that you created them to sing praises unto you. Give them another song and another song and another song. And let these young people grow in godliness. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Paul, last week talking about being, I just got stuck on it again. You know, as though, you know, some people say, well, you know, you stay on the scripture a long time. Some of them you need to stay on a long time. But that, you know, John MacArthur say, when you get stuck, God sticks you there for a reason. But I just reading that first verse. Be ye therefore followers, imitators.
Yes.
Imitators of God. How? As dear children. We talked last week about anybody in here that was a dear child. There's a difference between a dear child and a prodigal son. God's called us to be dear children. But bringing everything back in today, he's giving instructions. He's giving a plan. You know, I was looking at this and I was thinking about Alex Rodriguez. I don't know if anybody know Alex Rodriguez. He plays for the Yankees, third base, and he came out of Texas and got the big time contract, and he took all that money from the Yankees. At that time, it was a phenomenal amount. I think it was like a $250 million contract, and he's still playing under it. But he did an interview on how he hated being a part of the Yankee organization. Because to be being a part of the Yankee organization, there was rules and there was strict rules. You couldn't wear your hair all down to the back of your neck, no mustaches, curfews. You couldn't be out all times of night. They didn't put names on the uniforms of the Yankees. You ever notice that watching a Yankee game? They don't have names on the back. Because it's not about you. It's about the Yankees.
All right.
You get to play in that great Yankee Stadium and all that tradition. God gives us rules too. And things were happening in Ephesus. And just to go back, Ephesus was a evil, wicked city. See, sin just didn't start in the 20th century. You know, homosexuality and all that going on in our country, same sex marriage, it didn't just start 20 years ago. It was big back in Ephesus. Matter of fact, in Ephesus, they had 100 male and female, what they would call prostitutes that ran the temple. And they people would come from all over the world just to go to the great temple of Diana and to indulge themselves in sin. And Paul had the audacity to say, under the power of God, I'm going to plant a church right smack dab in the middle of Ephesus. I've said it before, and it's like going to downtown Las Vegas and planting a church right next to the Flamingo Hotel. Paul was a powerful man of God. And he knew that God could do all things. And he planted this church right smack in the middle of downtown Ephesus. And folks was coming in from all over, and folks was getting saved. Folks was getting saved. Paul said it to the Corinthian church. He says, and such were some of you. Folks was getting saved. Folks was getting saved in that church. Paul says it like this. And this was happening in Ephesus. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Y'all just heard Reverend Jones' testimony. I don't know where he left his car at. I don't know why he needed all them aspirins and stuff. But such were some of you, and I'm not saying it like Paul, such were some of us. Some of us got nice stuff because God delivered us from something. Some of us don't have nice stuff because we still stuck in stuff. Paul says, but such were some of you. These are the folks that's been delivered. God has delivered them from fornication and adultery and drunkenness and homosexuality and whatever. Now they didn't got beside themselves. Now they looking down on folks that's coming in. Oh, I know y'all know what I'm talking about. Now folks coming in with problems and they're like, ooh. Look at her. That dress on. Look at him. He ought to know better. But they forget that such were some of you. But you've been washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. It took some work to clean up some of us. And the emphasis is on us. It took some work. Resurrection power, as Paul says. Listen, same thing is going on in Corinth, going on in Ephesus, going on today. Going on today. But what the difference is, Paul had the audacity. I like that word. My mother used to use that word. It's an old school word. Some young folks don't know what it means. But Paul had the nerve to confront this church. And it won't happen today because we are so into numbers. Don't offend nobody. Don't talk about sin. Oh, don't talk about fornication. I told you the story. I went to a church and preached on fornication and sin, and the preacher pulled me to the side. Said, listen, you're going to have me preaching to the walls in here. He said, all these women in here are sexually active. And many of them came to me and said, Pastor, thank you. I needed to hear that. Amen. I needed to hear a word from the Lord about how I was living. Listen, listen. Yes. You have to preach God's word. Amen. Preachers have to preach God's word. Look what Paul's saying here. Picking it up in verse number 3. I'm going to keep reading because I'm going to bring everything in context here because it's important. He says, walk in love. Uh-huh. Walk in love. What's that mean, church? Walk in love. Walk in the Spirit of God.
Right.
Walk in the knowledge that you know what God has delivered you from and what God had to go through to save your wicked soul.
Yes, sir.
Don't look down on each on folks. He said, as Christ had loved us.
Amen.
And have given himself for us. Yes. And offering a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling Savior. We talked about that sacrifice last week. It was a blood offering. Christ had to die to deliver us.
Uh-huh.
We couldn't give you delivered like Cain came up with some granola bars. Granola bars ain't going to save you.
No.
Somebody died to save you. Christ said, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Now, what's happening here is the church is starting to come from all walks of life, and they are being told by the false teachers that they can be saved and not have a change of life. That they can be changed and still live like they was living when they were hooligans, when they was heathens, when they was sexually immoral, and they was unrighteous and ungodly, but you can still be saved and stay the same. Oh, that's a bad message.
Amen.
And they still preaching it.
Amen.
they still preaching it. Listen, Paul is confrontational. And he's not being confrontational to hurt anyone. He's being confrontational because with the confrontation comes the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
It's foolish to believe that you think you can live any kind of way and still lift up holy hands.
Come on, come on.
Paul is saying in verse number 3, but fornication. Mm-hmm. Pornea. The word is some of you heard it, porn. The word is the root of porn, pornea. Just take it over the Christian world. Christians are lining up on these pornography websites. One preacher called it Christian crack. The porn industry took in $27 billion last year. That's after paying all the cameras, paying for all their cameras, paying for all their girls, a $27 billion industry. That's net. That's enough to feed 62% of the world's hungry. Paul says, fornication is intolerable to the Christian. Oh, that's a hard message. It's so quiet here. I can't pin it. But our young people need to hear it. Our young people need to hear it. If you don't believe it, why Paul is saying it, call Children's Service. Call the Department of Children's Services and find out how deadly it is. When 70% of all African American families and 50% of all families in America are fatherless. And y'all know I work at a prison, and I guarantee you, I'm not gonna guarantee, but I'll put it on paper. 80% of every man out there has 3 children. That's a lot of children being raised by themselves. Fornication. Paul says this. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Interesting text. Worth turning to. Verse number 3. He said, for this is the will of God. Anybody ever ask you, I don't know what the will of God for my life is. I've heard that. People say, I don't know what the will of God for my life is. Here it is. God's word has all the answers. And I'm not asking for a show of hands, but many of us in here have been damaged by the sin of fornication.
All right.
And I'm not talking about the women. It's damaging. It's destructive. For this is the will of God. Even your sanctification. And that sanctification, that word sanctification means that you walk of holiness where God's nature is slowly taking control of your nature. And it's a day by day process where God is working with you and cleaning you up. He said, even your sanctification that you abstain. Fornication.
Yes.
Amen.
That every one of you, say folks, saints of God, should know how to possess his vessel. How? In sanctification and honor. It's the will of God that we live honorable lives, holy lives. And some of us ought to be saying, oh, I wish I would have heard this
years ago.
These young folks here won't have to worry about that. But fornication, not only that, all uncleanness, uncleanness, impurity of life, thoughts, action, and deeds, or covetousness. That's a big word. And they all go together. You see fornication, covetousness, and uncleanness always go together, like grace and mercy. See, they go together. And covetousness is just greedy for more. It's just a greed for more, whether it's materialistic, whether it's worldly fame or glory. It's wanting more.
Amen.
Now, I talk about the pornography industry. Well, you know what? The Horseshoe Casino in Cleveland.
Come on.
In the month of December, see, these Horseshoe Casino executives go after folks that are covetousness. See, it was the 10th commandment. You know the 10th commandment. Covetousness was 10. And I don't know why. It probably should have been a little higher. But who am I to question God? He put it there. I think all 10 of them carry a lot of weight. But see these casino owners, after they paid all their bills, they made $24.5 million in December. In December. That's after they paid the maintenance, so they paid all their security guards, they paid all their little hostesses and folks that, you know, they all their machines and repairman. They made $24 million. This is just in Cleveland.
Okay.
I thought Cleveland was broke. And that's up 19.8% from November. And they say, like I said, that's after they paid all of their booze and they paid all their security guards, everything. Covetousness, uncleanness, and fornication. All this stuff was prevalent in Ephesus and it was starting to creep into church. Mm-hmm. It's not unusual to see pastors in the number line.
Amen.
Now, y'all don't want to see me in the number line, but y'all think it's all right for y'all to be in the number line. Yeah, I believe you don't want me to go there. You shouldn't go there.
Yeah.
Paul's talking about the sins of immorality.
Yes, sir.
See, and he's talking about all these things. So we're trying to get to chapter 6. We're trying to get your armor. Folks, you got to get your armor. You can't put your armor on top of all this junk. You're going to put on a whole armor of God. You can't just put it on top of some mess. And see, some of you don't have no armor, don't want no armor. Imagine watching a football game. And there's a guy on the sideline, he's just flipping footballs around. You think he's just the water boy. He don't have no uniform on. He don't have no equipment, no helmet or nothing. And then the coach call him over to him and put him in the game. And put him at running back. And everybody on the opposite side got on helmets and shoulder pads, knee pads. And they give him the ball. What's going to happen? See, some of us don't have no equipment. We don't have no equipment, and we're not going to get it until God deals with us. God is working with us through the book of Ephesians. And he's saying in verse number 3, but fornication and uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as people of God. The church ought to have a reputation. The church ought to have a reputation. It ought to be, they preach the word there. They sing hard there. They pray hard there. They love one another. It shouldn't be all the deacons and the pastor womanizing all the women to, you know, go there and all the women all over you. That ought not be the reputation of the church. It ought not be once named among any of us, especially the men of God that's in positions of leadership here.
Amen.
We ought not be shacking up.
No.
Living together. How we just call living together now? See, when we was coming up, it wasn't called living together. It was called living in sin. That's what they called it. How's your daughter doing?
Oh, she found a little boy and they living together.
No, they ain't. They living in sin, and if the house burned down, they going to hell. All right. Oh, now I pick up, you know, you pick up the vindicator and read somebody's obituary and they left their lifelong companion. Well, if I get married, I'm going to lose my social security going to go down. Well, I'd rather my social security go down. I can't get married if I'm not, you know, my first husband left me a lot of money. Your first husband ought to be the Lord. Those are, he didn't hit the sins of sexual immorality. Okay.
Look at verse number 4. He's getting to the mouth. See, we come up when it was get your mouth washed out. Soap. How many remember that? That old ivory soap. My mother liked to wash our mouths out with soap. Okay. Me being a dear son, it never happened. I was just sitting there and watch my brothers and sisters. Say, how that tastes? Then as soon as she turned her back, they get me and wash. Listen, the sins of the tongue. Paul, come on, clean up the church here. Now this is interesting here, because he's just going down the list. He says, not only fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness, let it not be the one standing among you, and becoming saints. And that word becoming saint means as saints. That's in the present tense. That means you are a saint. So let not this be named among you. This book was written to the saints at Ephesus. Read chapter 1, verse 1, to the saints at Ephesus. He said, listen, not only fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness, but neither filthiness.
Yeah.
Filthiness. This is just having a dirty, nasty, rotten mouth. Yeah. Ephesians 4:29, Paul put it like this: let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And that word corrupt means rotten, stinky. Leave some chicken in your garbage disposal. Or something that will stink up the house. You wonder, what is going on? Got a bad onion somewhere. Some church folks got filthy mouths. And I see it. And some of y'all that work and you see folks that say they saved in the light of the world. And you open your mouth and it's rotten. It's rotten, Paul says. Let not any corrupt communication go out of your mouth. How does it get in your mouth? How does it get into your heart? Some of us don't have no problem listening to stuff. Listening to the music and watching TV that cuss and swear. It goes into your spirit. It goes into your ear gate. We talk about that when we talk about the gates of Nehemiah, the ear gate, the eye gate. When the man of God went into the temple and was going into the Holy of Holies, they touched his ears. They anointed his ears. They anointed his eyes. They anointed his hands. They anointed his feet as symbols of how we ought to live and how we ought to walk. And he wouldn't dare go in there if he had sin unconfessed in his own life. Neither foul mouth, rotten. Listen. When filthiness becomes the standard. And it is the standard for a lot of folks. Some of you young folks in here, you got friends and stuff that just got filthy mouths.
Amen.
They leave up out of it. I mean, they sit up here and sing, nobody's greater. Nobody's greater than you. And then they go home and turn on. Whoever. Little whoever. I say it all the time. You can't get salt water and fresh water out of the same tap. You just can't. And as God cleans up the man of God, the woman of God, you're going to sing better. You're going to pray better. You're going to worship better. Oh, you will. It's hard to worship God with a foul, rotten mouth, soul, body, and spirit. He said, filthiness of the mouth. How you define filthiness? What comes out of your mouth is a mirror of what's in your soul.
Amen.
It's a picture of what's in your heart, what comes out of your mouth. Paul talks about the filthiness. We live in a filthy world.
Mm-hmm.
I hear it so much, it just breaks my heart to hear the young people, the things they say to each other. The words back in the day, Martin Luther King and the civil rights movement, people, they died. They died because of the N-word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now young brothers is calling each other that like it's nothing.
Amen.
They laugh about it. That's their nicknames and different things. And it ought to break your heart.
Amen.
To hear it.
Yeah.
To hear the sex talk. The sex talk is so prevalent in the workplace. It's everything is just filthy. Paul said it ought not be. It ought not be made known by the Christian, by the man of God. Watch your mouth. Vulgar sex talk, degrading people, races and cultures is just prevalent today. Then he says, no foolish talking. How about that? He's not stopping here. Neither filthiness, no foolish talking. Just talking head. These are the folks just talking to be talking. Uh-huh. Somebody said talking loud and
saying nothing.
Or Pastor Stringer would say talking right and walking left. Foolish talking. Look at Psalms 14. This is a fascinating scripture that talks about the fool. Women, you young women in here, you meet one of these fools. Listen to what they're saying. Jasmine, you listen to these boys. You getting all A's. Y'all getting all A's and they getting all nothing.
Amen.
Be careful. Because Psalm 14, once they are fools, have said in his heart, there's no God.
That's right.
Foolish talking is a fool talking about foolish things. No God. Listen for holiness in a man's conversation. Listen for respect and obedience. Look, listen for that. No man respect you. Let him know. Child of King. Child of God.
Yes, yes.
Ooh, it said it's hard. There's no God. They are corrupt. They have filthy mouth. Filthy heart. Filthy intentions. They have done abominable works. Abominable meaning against God. They don't care about God. Some of us laugh at stuff that God calls abominable. Deuteronomy 22:5. That woman ought not wear men's clothing. That a man ought not wear that which is for a woman. And all that do it are an abomination to God.
Yes.
Isn't it something that most of the movies, the male actors are always dressing like women? Wearing pumps and wigs and makeup.
Yeah.
Oh, we like it. And we sit all the young boys in front of the TV, they laughing at it. Ha ha ha, it's funny. Then you come home and they got your pumps on.
All
right. It ain't funny then. When you looking for your fishnets. I know I put them in this drawer. Yeah. Okay. Don't. Pay attention. Foolish talking. Abominable. They are abominable works. There is none that doeth good. There's none that doeth good. The person who says that there is no God, I don't care how much of a philanthropist they is, how much money they give. They can get money here. They can get money there. They can donate here. They can do all this volunteer work. But there is none that doeth good if they do not believe in a thrice holy God.
Amen.
Amen. Only now they give them money to see them in the paper. I gave money over here. Gave money over here. I've done all these good works. What do you feel about? How do you feel about God? That'll be the first question.
All right.
Now, I'm a young man or a young woman, and a brother come up to me or a woman come up, I'm meeting her. How do you feel about God? I answer that right. If I'm a child of God, they got to answer that question right.
Yeah.
If I'm a child of the King, you have to answer that question right. Because that's 95% of a successful marriage. Two people love the Lord and love God's word and love God's people. They got most of it lit. Okay? Now, whether she can make macaroni and cheese or fried chicken, that's secondary. Get the good stuff right. How you feel about God?
Yes.
How you feel about the things of God? Listen, Paul don't stop there. far could you go on? You know, filthiness, no foolish talking, no jesting, which are not convenient. Now that's an interesting word. Which are not convenient. You know, some things aren't convenient for the man or woman of God. Some things just aren't convenient. There's some places that you just ought not go. There's some things you ought not to handle and touch. And then we don't understand that. And we think we can do anything to represent God. If the New York Yankees don't allow their players out all night.
Right.
And that's the standard. That's the standard. Now, if you're a governor, or like Mark Dan, the Secretary of State, whatever he was, it wasn't in his campaign, whatever policy, that he couldn't have an extramarital relationship. But he had one. And they kicked him out of office. How high should the standard be for the man of God? We have no standards in the church. Pastor stand up in front of the church. Well, you know, his wife next to him. Me and my wife, you know, my wife, I just had a baby out of wedlock. Or I'm in a relationship and I've been found out. Please forgive me. And just keep on preaching.
Amen.
What do you preach about?
Amen.
If you can't preach holiness and trust and love and faith, what do you preach about? Oh, maybe Reverend Thornton will help me. Maybe Reverend Jones will help me. You know, preach on forgiveness every Sunday. Preach the Psalms. Where y'all preach at? Y'all think y'all get on me because I'm in Ephesians. How'd y'all like being in Psalms for 10 years? Listen. Nor foolish talking. Watch the foolish talking. Psalms 1 say, blessed is the man who what? Walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Pay attention to those psalms. Watch who you walking with. Watch who you talking to and who you agreeing with. You just can't agree with folks that don't know the Lord. Nor jesting. He said these things aren't convenient. Filthiness, foolish talking, nor jesting. And some of your translations may say coarse jesting. Coarse jesting is cruel talking designed to hurt people. So Vaughn wrote it in there in the text today. The tongue has no bone, but it's able to break a heart. That's coarse jesting.
Amen.
Little jokes that's designed to hurt somebody. Designed to stop them from coming around, designed to hurt them. Let's be careful with that. Let's be careful with our humor.
Amen.
Make sure, and I'm not against humor. I love to make light of things, but you got to do it in love.
Amen.
There's no mention of Jesus ever telling a joke in the Bible. Paul. Verse 4. This is so wonderful. I'm still in 4. He said, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. But here's what you ought to do. He said, rather give thanks. Rather the giving of thanks. You know, understanding what God has done for you. And again, Paul's going all the way back to chapter 1 and 2 and 3, saying, remember that Christ died for you, and for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is a gift of God.
Mm-hmm.
Never forget that. Those are the things we ought to be thankful for. We ought to be living a life of thanksgiving. Listen, look at Psalms 100. One of the shortest psalms. What a great, great, wonderful psalm. I can always tell folks that are thankful. You don't have to beg them. I, you know, people come in, well, so-and-so ain't been here in a while. So-and-so, you need it. I don't need to call nobody.
All right.
Some folks where they want to be.
All right.
If you truly say, then you realize that God has been good to you and has saved your rotten, stinking, hell-bound soul and called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, and I don't have to call you. Some of us ain't been to church in a couple weeks. They where they want to be. Are they in the hospital? Oh, the folks ain't showing up for choir rehearsal. Lead so what? Sing solos. If they don't want to sing. We don't lower the standard. We raising the standard. We don't lower the standard so everybody can come in. This is what Paul's warning against. Well, you know, they ain't showing up. We just can't. No, sing solo. You just get Jeremy up here and make him sing like you did today. Sing, boy. I'll get you some more songs because you never know. Reverend Neil preach everybody at church. Be just me and Jeremy. Nobody greater. Look at Psalms 100 and understand it. Get some understanding in all you're getting. Get understanding. David knew that he had been blessed by God. Look at this psalm. This is a psalm of praise. This is a wonderful psalm. Listen, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Yes. The word of God has gone out into all the world, and all the world ought to be making a joyful noise. Nobody said, serve the Lord.
Yes.
Serve the Lord. Yes. How? With gladness. Oh, we ought to be happy to come to church. It's a blessing of God that the church is doors are open. That you live in a land where you can come to church and praise the Lord and sing and play a guitar and drums. Serve the Lord how? With gladness. Come before his presence. How? With singing. We ought to be singing all the way to church. Singing through the doors. I'll be beating folks down. I got a song. I want to sing. Know ye that the Lord is God. Know that. Get some understanding. Know that the Lord, capital L-O-R, Jehovah, is God. It is he that have made us. See, some of us walk around here thinking we made God. God don't. Bible say when God couldn't find nobody to witness, he had to do what? By his own self. There's nobody greater. And you can look high and low. There's nobody greater. Listen. It is he. Come on now. Let me say this again. It is he that have made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of. Oh, he's a good shepherd. Oh, he's a good shepherd. I like this part here. When you know what God has done for you. Oh, you don't know what it would take for me to miss Sunday. Oh, you don't know. God has brought me for such a mighty long way. God has been so good to me. So good to me and my wife and my family. And I can enter into this church. I can enter with thanksgiving. Listen, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And into his courts, how? With praise. Into his courts. Listen. Paul is being prophetic in this text here. He said, now that you can enter his court, Jesus had died, yet Paul, the great David was being prophetic and saying that God was going to die. And when he died, at the exact time that he gave up the ghost, the veil of the temple was ripped from top to the bottom. And now, you didn't have to sit on the outside. You could enter into the Holy of Holies. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Paul says, David says, enter into his courts how? With praise. Be thankful unto him. And bless his name. Bless his name. Sing like that, young people. Sing and bless his name. Sing with conviction. And the more you know the word of God, it's why I beg and beg and beg. Please come to Bible study. Please come to Sunday school, because the more you know about God, the sweeter you sound. The sweeter you sound, the sweeter your testimony is. For the Lord is good. Those of us that saved, that was in the muck and the mire, that was in darkness. Some of us in here been delivered from some stuff.
Thank you, Jesus.
Drinking and smoking and cussing and fornication and adultery and whatever. You know that the Lord is good and His mercy is everlasting and His truth endure to all generations. God is so good. God is so good. Paul, I don't know if you can take any more, Paul. This is rough. This man is calling us to accountability. There's a cost to being a Christian. Everybody not willing to pay it. Paul is actually purifying the church. Paul saying, preacher, purify your church. Well, what I'm going to tell my boys if I, you know, I tell them I ain't got no members, purify the church. Purify the church. It ain't about numbers. He said, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting are which are convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Peter had to learn a hard lesson. Peter had to learn a hard lesson, and Paul is talking to us about our mouths and what comes out of our mouths. And if you want to let somebody know that you don't believe God, that you don't, that you're not a child of God, watch what comes out of your mouth.
That's right.
Now y'all remember Matthew 26. Peter got called in, little peasant girl. Matthew 26:69. Little peasant girl called Peter. Said, you one of them? He said, you one of them? I can see some of our young people in school. You one of them? You put Jeremy on YouTube. Oh, you one of them? Seeing you on YouTube, you one of them? He got called out. Folks, you're going to get called out. I say it all the time. Y'all know 2 Timothy 3:12. Put it down. Write it down. All who desire to live godly in Christ shall be persecuted. Not might be. Now, Peter sat with all in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before all of them, saying, I know not what you say. And when he was gone out of into the port, got away from that little crowd there. See, you can run, but you can't hide. He got away from that little peasant girl. Text her buddy, said he coming your way. And he was going out into the porch. Another maid saw him, and said unto him, unto them that were there, everybody now, put him out on Front Street now. This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied with an oath. Swear to God, I wasn't with the man. I did not know this man. And after a while came unto him, they that stood by and said to Peter, they call him by name now, surely, positive ID. Surely, thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayed thee. Now, what they're saying is you've been with Jesus so much. You're going to know when you've been with Jesus because you're going to start sounding like Jesus. And I'm not talking about these folks running around here, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Too blessed to be stressed. Blessed and highly favored. I ain't talking about that mess. I'm talking about folks that you start talking to them, you know. And I'm not talking about because you got what would Jesus do graces on, and you got a John 3:16 shirt. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this, your behavior, your mannerisms, the way you carry yourself will identify you as being different.
Amen.
You'll have that Shekinah glory on you. You've been with Jesus. Like Moses when he came down from the mountain. Moses didn't know. But the people knew. He was terrified. He said, oh Lord, have mercy. Your face shining. Moses has what it fell on. Now we ain't going that far with it. But folk ought to know that you've been with the Lord.
Yeah.
Listen, Peter said, I'm going to show y'all. So if he going to tell you something, if you want to show somebody you don't know the Lord, here's what you do. Peter said, listen, these folks are going to get me in trouble. Then began he to curse and swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Peter cussed and swore, and by doing that, we will ruin our witness. Let us be mindful of that. If we got a problem with our mouths, God, give me power over my tongue. Give me power over the things that come out of my mouth. But the best thing to do is to feed your heart the Word of God.
Amen.
The Word of God says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The mouth speaks. Listen, rather give thanks. Psalms 100. Give thanks unto the Lord because He is worthy. Amos 3:3 says this. Y'all know it. How can two walk together unless they agree? And again, unless they agree. Agree on what? You can't walk. You're not going to hang out with me. Okay? I'm a Bible thumper. I'm studying. I'm talking about the things of God all the time. Now, if you worldly and you just want to run around and you cheating on your wife and partying away, I know you're not going to be comfortable with me.
Amen.
If you're single, I'm going to talk you into getting married. Because I love being married. I love my wife. I love the benefits of marriage. I think everybody ought to be married.
Amen.
I just have a problem with unmarried ministers. Unmarried deacons. Well, I'm single. Well, how are you single, a deacon or a minister, and 80% of the church is women? Don't make sense, do it? No, y'all know it don't. But we got churches full of single ministers just going through the church. Listen, let's close. I'll be long. Oh, I've been long. Oh, that sounds so sweet. That sounds so sweet. You know, when I was preaching at the prison, y'all heard, I preached at the prison. I preached 2 hours long. Then they said, hold on, it's count time. We'll be back after count. I'll be waiting for them. Give them 2 hours more. We ain't going nowhere. Okay, listen. Let's close. This is verse number 6. I know Dave playing. I know you ain't going to miss number 6. Listen, in verse 5, Paul sums it up. He sums it up. He said, for this we know, that no whoremonger. This is a person consumed with being a whore.
Yeah.
I know there's some children in here. I apologize if I've offended any young people in here. But a whoremonger is just a person whose sexual desires is totally out of control. Constant on his mind. No unclean person. Just a dirty, filthy, rotten, nasty, stinking person. Nor covetous man. Who is an idolater? Now that's interesting now. A covetous man who is an idolater. He has spent all his resources, all his life desires, all his skill set, everything he has that God has given him, he is using it to further Satan's kingdom. I'm not against going to college, getting you a master's degree, a doctorate degree, and being a big shot in a corporation, whatever. But you got to thank the Lord. In all your getting. And we got a generation of folks that look in the mirror, they see God. Morning, God. Verse number 6 is so interesting. He says, let no man deceive you with vain words. Now here's Paul 2,000 years ago writing this. This was yesterday.
All right.
There is preachers and ministers that are teaching that you can live any kind of way and go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right. Don't worry about it. Test that out. You know, don't test that out before you get married. Nothing wrong with that. There ain't nothing wrong. I mean, if you love him, marry him. If you love her, love. It's all about love. So if Bob loves Bob, that's all right. It's because they love each other. Love is without love. You know, without love, what the world needs now. Let no man deceive you. No, let no man trick you.
Amen.
That's what that word means. Don't let man trick you with empty words, vain words. You know, I have to do this. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Y'all been there. Y'all been with me on Wednesday night. Y'all been there. But this is one that needs to be highlighted. I got highlighters up here. See me at the church, you need a highlighter. Some stuff you need to highlight in your Bible. You need to find it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. For there's folks out there, vain talkers, who are telling you that you can live any kind of way and go to heaven, and it's not true.
Amen.
Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people.
Amen.
See, these kind of folks, Paul says in verse 13 of chapter 11, 2 Corinthians, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers. Now, if your pastor's a deceitful worker, what's he going to tell you? Living in anything you want to hear, whoever said that. Whatever you want to hear. What they listening to? Oh, that's what they want to hear? Okay. Got some messages on that. Such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And no marvel, here's verse 14, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. You get you a minister that's, that preacher, that bald head preacher over there preaching all that Bible. You don't need all that. Don't take all that. Everybody going to heaven. All you got to do is, I love Jesus. Sign your card, come down and I'll join the church. Ask the average Christian, ask the average so-called Christian, about their salvation, what it means to be saved. Oh, I'm a member of this church, and Brother so-and-so my pastor, and I got baptized. All that don't mean nothing.
Amen.
All that don't mean nothing. I'm afraid to tell some of y'all that. Oh yeah, I got saved when I was 8 years old. Been living like a hellion ever since. Oh, I got sprinkled. No, when I was born, I got sprinkled. I'm good. That's bad theology.
Amen.
I'm so glad that they don't call me up and just say, "Come do some funerals." I really am, and I'm not saying that. I know all of us got some loved ones in hell. I don't care what y'all want to sit here and act like you don't.
Amen.
And you know what they doing in hell? Praying. Is everybody in hell saved? Everybody in hell believe Jesus. And and the rich man went to hell. And he prayed to Jesus to send Lazarus to his father's house and tell him that hell is real. And I can feel a tug on my leg for some of y'all's loved ones saying, preach to my mama, preach to my daddy, preach to my uncle, my cousin, and baby boy. Preach to them, because this ain't no joke. Preach to my little nephew. I know I taught him that being a thug and being cool was all right, but this is real.
Amen.
Don't let him die and go to hell.
Amen.
That's what the rich man in hell was saying.
Yeah.
That's what the rich man was saying. Hell is real. I say it all the time. It's real as Boardman. Real as Liberty. It's real as Canfield. It's real as Glen Haven on the south side. Hell is real. And we need to be serious about the things of God. Paul says, let no man deceive you with vain words. Because of these cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. You see how those two scriptures go together. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and this one. Listen, folks. I know that's offensive. I know it's touchy. It's God's word. And God called me to preach it.
I don't have nothing else to say. I don't want to hear about my workouts and, you know, what I think about Tigers getting a two-stroke penalty for illegal drop. All that stuff means nothing.
Amen.
When we talk about souls.
Amen.
And we got young folks here that's heading down the path of destruction.
Yeah.
And we need some stop signs. We need some Holy Ghost stop signs. It's just waving. Just waving at them. Stop. Stop. Bridge out. Bridge out. And our young folks just riding right on through. Look at that old crazy man over there waving his hands. Listen. Matthew says we salt of the earth. We the salt of the earth. And if salt loses its flavor, it's good for nothing. You know what? We got too many good for nothing Christians.
Amen.
Good for nothing. No salt. Salt loses flavor. Salt don't. Yes, it do. I Googled the Salt Institute of America. Moisture and heat will ruin salt, and it's good for road salt. And nobody putting road salt on their steak. Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your...